listening to another Woodshop podcast, the okayest podcast of its type. Your hosts are Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find them as well as the podcast on your favorite social media platforms.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 176 of another Woodshop podcast, where this week we're joined by another giant in the community, a self-taught woodworker, artist, and fashion icon. You can't scroll through IG without seeing her work, and I know we all saw one of her posts at one point or another. She's kicking ass, she's taking names and getting paid, and if you've been looking for a sign, here it is. Lizzie, pay me bitches cook from the House of Timber is here. What up?
Wow. Can you write the butt? Can I put that on my website?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's the only thing I specialize in is intros. And I barely make it through them every week.
I need
you
that.
Nailed that one. You nailed that one.
Appreciate that.
That one was solid. So good.
Lizzie, thank you so much for joining us.
So good to see you guys again. Just saw you the other day.
Like a couple days ago. It doesn't feel like it's been that long.
And then roughly for the last hour or two.
Well, that's been fun.
Dan, do you know who I wish I was also seeing today?
Perhaps our patrons.
Our patrons.
Yo, big shout out to our patrons. You guys help keep the lights on over here. We appreciate you all, and we want to give a special shout out to all our VIP patrons. But before I do that, I want to give a singular shout out to our new patron, Woo! Gillette Woodworks. Thank you so much for joining the Met Army. And now I want to talk about the VIP patrons, and they are as follows: Gillette Woodworks. Woo! Victor Aragama, Matthew Hoff of Matthew's Woodworking, Nip Brin Woodworking.
Changed his name.
This guy.
Oh, this guy.
Matt Maynard of Patriotic Pine, Steve I of Durola, Bill Burkle of WTB Woodworking. Excuse me, Chilada Burp. Malcolm over at Boston Nova Woodworks. Justin at Calvary Customs, Patrick Gensel, Michael Flickinger, Max and Mindy Coons of Stubby K Studio, and Jacob Miller of A Sweet Shop. Woo! Thank you to each and every one of our patrons, and especially to our VIP patrons. We appreciate all of you guys. You help us keep the lights on over here every single week. Right now, you're helping me keep the red light on.
Dan, you look like you're in low power mode with the red lights.
This is the red light district of AWP.
I wasn't going to ask about the red room when the red room wasn't the recording room. That was just his business.
So I record in my shipping studio. And I tried to spruce it up by adding a backlight.
Very aggressive color, Dan.
I like the red. I like the red.
Red likes you.
Yeah.
It's the red light district.
Well,
you're in Nebraska.
Thank you, patrons. Thank you for being amazing. And Dan, work on yourself. It's okay. But speaking of red,
I work on myself every week.
Chilada-y things. Lizzie's joining us today.
Hey.
Fun fact: we learned in a pre-show that her favorite drink is also a chilada. So Dan has someone to
my people.
Yeah, there is nothing better than
you called it red beer.
It's a red. Well, because like
that's what you call it.
Yeah, at the bar that I worked at. But it's like a red beer is not just a beer and tomato juice. Like a red beer, have some class. A red beer comes with a certain standard. So if I order a red beer at a bar, I expect a red beer. And honestly, surprisingly, the Bud Light Chilada is the closest to like hometown the bar red beer. Oh, that little extra carbonation.
Yeah, it's like Dan's like validated. His whole life makes sense now because Lizzie made it. A whole
for like thing. 3 years. 3 years I've been drinking chiladas on the podcast. And finally, I have somebody that knows.
It only took 372 guests.
Yeah. Well, here we are. And it is so good. Chiladas for everybody. Honestly.
Well, speaking of guests, Lizzie, for those of our listeners who don't know who you are, which is probably nobody, can you give us the elevator pitch? Who the hell do you think you are?
So I am a mother. I have found my way to Missouri after living in some nowhere places. I found woodworking when I was sad, and it makes me happier. And I do, can't hear? Louder?
No. Cut off? Dan's yelling at us, kids.
Keep going.
I was like, am I in trouble? So I have found myself here. I found woodworking at like super weird time. I'm so glad that I did. And honestly, I just rolled with it. And it has been, so come the end of this year, we'll wrap up 5 years full-time woodworking. And I haven't fired myself yet. And I have conned a few people into paying me so that I can afford rent. And I do this with my kiddo. And I love teaching people because that's what this shit is all about. So that's probably me.
Yes.
In a nutshell, fumbled into something that was kind of fun, and it was better than bartending, surprisingly. So here we go.
I love the nonchalant way of putting it of, I've conned some people into paying me money to do this. And is that not exactly what we all
That's
do?
Exactly how it feels,
we all
though.
Just like, lied as a content just creator. Lightly enough to confuse some people to give us some money to give them just pieces of wood with a bunch of wax on it.
Honestly, legitimately, when someone asks like anything about my pricing model or anything that's like came to be, I just realized like all it took was the audacity. So
it's I love it.
The audacity.
Audacity. That's which is all what we used takes. To record, actually, ironically.
Yeah. That's all it takes is the audacity. So it's like one day I woke up and I'm like, you know what? I'm expensive. There we go.
I saw a TikTok today and it was brilliant. And it was talking about pricing structure and stuff like that. And the dude said, here's the bottom line. It's $3,500 for me to build the table for you. And it's $0 for me not. And that's how I'm breaking it down.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
Yeah. And I mean, I have actual kind of formula that went into it. But when it comes to like accounting for things like that, I heard someone say, you know, oh, that's not in my livable wage or something like that. And it's like, well, it's art. It's not your livable wage. This isn't your groceries every week. This isn't the money that you need to like drive your car. This isn't gas you're putting in your vehicles. You're buying art from me and art's expensive.
Oh, so, yeah. I love that.
And like when you talk to people, I'm like, do you want to be something that people can afford or do you want to be the thing that they can save for? I want to be affordable to most who save for it. But I don't just want to be readily. Now there's, we could dive. I could deep dive on this all day.
Let's actually, that was one of my questions.
Yeah, that's kind of like, the point of
what's
this
your
show.
Evolution of your pricing structure? Like you started out just trying to figure it out. And now you're like, let's be honest. Like you're a monster in the sign making community. People want to be you.
But I think that there's this, I think that there's a misconception and that's why I try to be fully transparent, but I also, my time also affords me, I don't work every single day of the month like other people. So when it comes to like income, I sometimes get like worried that people will think, oh, she charges for a sign, she's rolling in it, but I'm not, because my thing will always be, especially if you're going to be a full-time maker, it is not consistently about making more money. It is about consistently understanding how to live on less. And if you can figure out how to live on less, your money and what you're making on those pieces is going to go so much farther. So for me, like, yes, my pricing structure, I have to support a daughter. I have to support my life. But like, I have not lived the life I lived to not live this life now. And earlier, when I was charging way too cheap, I think I was selling maker skulls, like my little mini maker skulls, for $35. Who was I? Like $35? No. And I was sitting there crying in the garage. I remember a very specific logo, and it's so pretty. For Cardinal Woodworks, we still follow each other. I think he still is like in love with this sign. And it's so crazy because when I look at that, that is the most miserable I've ever been. I'm like, I can never go full time. I was like, I can never go full time with this. This is insane. I think I've lost money. And it was at that point that I'm like, what am I doing? I'm making art. And so that's when I dove into like maybe some technical numbers. So for me, because I'm crazy, I was like, how much is a plumber making in Missouri? How much is an electrician making in Missouri? How much is skilled labor making? And if skilled labor is coming at me with $150 an hour, I'm skilled labor. So I'm going to come at you with $150 an hour. And what bracket does that put me in? And then I realized that with half the game is pricing your work, but the other half is pricing your customers. So I want this level of customer. So how do I need to be in their bracket? And you know what? These level of customers aren't looking for a $50 gift. They're looking for a $300 gift. So I'm going to make this customer that $300 gift. I want to be in the price bracket that curates the customers that I wanted to be in. I said all it took was the audacity, and it took the skill. So the skill has to grow with it, obviously. But it took saying yes to new things, and it took being okay with throwing a number out. So the quality of my work increased, the quality of my customers increased, and then my standard was a new standard. And I think you always have to check in with yourself. What's my standard of work at now? And then when it hits the mark where it's like, okay, work solid, that's great. Now I've curated customers that know they got to wait a little bit. It's going to be good. It's going to be finished impeccably. Now, am I churning out $4,000 signs every single week? Absolutely not. But I can for a fact tell you that, like, yes, this logo is $4,000. And that took, 5 years to get there. But like, people's limiting factor is themselves. It's like they don't believe that the work is worth it. They don't believe that they can charge that price. And I'm like, no, have the audacity to think that you are, because you are, and it's art. It's affordable.
I've had that conversation with photographers in the past, because if you don't know, I come from a photography background, and that is a long time argument from any industry, really, like a pricing structure. Just because you feel like you can't afford yourself doesn't mean that other people can't. And you can't look at it like that.
Yeah.
You can't go, well, I can't afford it, so I can't charge that. Well, that's no way to charge for your work.
Yep.
So it's like, I used to look at things and it's like, okay. And I still kind of do, like when I'm like coming up with a quote. So it's like, yeah, I got my materials, it's $100 in wood, I'm going to double that. So my materials are $200, because you have to make double on your materials or it wasn't worth you picking up the materials. Yeah. So it's like materials 50%. That's a no brainer. When it comes to my hourly rate, I want to charge you $200 an hour. Now, am I going to charge you $200 an hour to scroll a maker scroll? No, because that's like second nature. That's batch work. That's something going on the website. That's repeatable. I'm stack cutting it. But one of one, you're getting me, and you're going to get a piece at this point at my skill level that I can trust is going to hang on your wall, and you're going to have that for a long time.
I think it's a concept of how much of my focus are you buying with that rate? So when you pay $200-$300 an hour, you're buying 100% of my focus. I'm working on your piece alone.
Yeah.
$50, I'm working on pieces that all look the same. Kind of batch work, like you said.
Yeah, batch work. It's things that you can like make a little more worth your money. But for that like really custom work, I think all artists need to get the starving artist thing out of their mind. Like, times have changed. You don't have to be a starving artist anymore. You just have to curate the right clientele. And so when you put yourself at that hourly bracket and for that focus, it does limit out, which used to scare me so much. You want turn away. If you're getting no turn away, you're way too cheap. And like, I want like 40% of people to tell me no. And then I'm in a good spot with my pricing. And it takes learning. It takes getting uncomfortable. But it also, so do materials, double. Price your work at an hourly rate that you feel comfortable with and mark it up, because you got to pay taxes, you got to keep the lights on, you got to do all that. So find your markup rate and play with that. So that's how I priced at first, was that little formula there. Materials, double materials, hourly rate, slight markup. And then I started to play with that on top of it. I'm like, well, I'm selling them on what they're ordering, but what if I sold them on my vision? And so I'm like, what you're ordering could get you this, but I have an idea to do this. And if you want to pay me for a little bit of my artistic time, I'm going to give you a piece that is an art piece. And so then when you start doing that, then your work starts to look like what's in your head. And that's what happens. And I can tell when it happens on an artist page. I'm like, oh yeah, that's Kristen. From the second I see her post, I don't see her name. Yeah. And so I hope, and I don't know if it's the effect, but I hope that my pieces look like House of Timber pieces. I hope they look like a brand. And that to me is the difference in working or creating a brand. So I'm like, do I make signs or do I have a brand that creates logos or creates art?
Personally, I always know your posts as soon as they come up. I don't even need to see your face.
I know
who it belongs to.
I follow so many crisp other lines people
on the scroll. Like, it's just real high quality work always.
But I'm still learning, and like, I know that I have so much to learn, but with the quality, like the scrolling, it's, that's a matter of patience, and truthfully anybody can do it. But it's like some of the joinery stuff. So it's like, I want to learn, how am I going to get really good joints? How am I going to do like this segmented rat fit? Like, never stop challenging yourself, because then you have more to offer. And then you really are making these art pieces. But again, for me, I'm like, I want to make one of one. I've never loved batch work. I've never loved churning out seasonal things. Seasonal things, they're for literally a season. They don't have the same value as something else does. Nursery signs, absolutely amazing, but they're also for a season of life. So that's why I started doing those things and kind of got into what I'm doing now. Everybody attacks it a different way. But for me, I like that one of one stuff. And even if you do seasonal, and even if you jump into nursery, there's still a way to make your custom pieces, like really curated art pieces. Like, I want to be the logo bitch, you know, like I want to be like, that's the logo, bitch. That's where I'm going for a logo. Or one day I'm going to have a House of Timber logo. And I hope that that's kind of what I wanted to create. So I like had to like sit and focus on how I was going to make them special, you know?
All right. So I want to put a hard stop on this right now for a second, because I want to, this is for our audience. If anyone out there is trying to be a furniture maker or an artist or turn their thing into a business, just re-listen to the last 10 minutes, because, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here, we just had a scrawl saw, you know, timid little girl tell all you guys out there how to run your business. I don't think we've had a more clear message on pricing ever explained on this show in so few words. Like, I just want to call that out. Like, seriously, like, you, that was probably some of the best advice we've gotten in a long time. Is,
and I was,
first thing
I was,
is audacity, agreed. And then just like, You even said it yourself. You're not done learning. Your work is outstanding. Your pricing at this point, I ain't done. I'm not done. Yeah. You know?
But this is what and that's why I share it. And I never share it like, and that's what I like. I live very humbly. Like, this is the first year I could even afford to buy like an SUV. I drove the busted truck, but that was also the motto of like, if you can learn to live on less, you'll be making more. And that's like the biggest trick. But it's like, it takes time to get there. But right now I'm in a phase of life where like, I value, I'm never going to get this time with crew back. So I don't work every single day. So for one, it was just desperation of like, I need this to make me money. But also I share pricing because I'm like, this is possible. Like, do you know that people will pay for something? And don't play the comparison game, because you don't want to be somebody who doesn't value yourself, because it does curate a certain client. Like, if you're making cheap and fast and you got cheap and fast turnover, you're going to get cheap clients. If it's like, I don't know what it was, but the second I believe,
say it again for the people in the back.
But when my work got a little higher, people put more value into it. And also sharing, I'm not an artist who's like going to sit here and keep secrets. For one, what I feel like what I've done has empowered so much of my life. I've like tapped into this thing that brought me peace, and I feel like everybody should tap into it. So I want to teach you how to find that, even if you don't make money on it. That's just as important. But I'm like, people are paying for these things. Like, your life is possible. You can do all of this. Like, people are out here paying. But people, when I started showing them how I was doing things, all of a sudden my customers started to understand like, oh dang, this isn't Hobby Lobby. This is what goes into this. So even sharing a little bit in the process, I feel like did elevate some of my price points as well, of just having customers involved. This is what I'm doing with your piece. This is the work that goes into it. This is a passion behind it. And that's part of, for me, building a brand. You have to have your brand message. You have to have clarity on what it is that you do and who you are and who people are supporting. Because I promise you, if it's relatable, people will buy more to buy it from you.
You're not just selling the product. You're also sharing the process. And people love to buy into the like the story of the piece.
Yeah, but that's a brand. And there's so many people who are, they have products, but they haven't built a brand. And that's one of the most important things that I have done, I think, at the House of Timber, is focus on what I wanted my brand to represent. And it changed probably that was like 2.5 years in that I was like, no, I want this to last. Lawrence, I want this to last. So how do I get this to last? And it was like changing it into a brain. That's his Christian name.
I was going to say, did you just use the full You're in Trouble name on your dog?
Yeah.
FYI, if you don't not understand what's going on, Lawrence is her dog.
Come here, Lair Bear.
Yeah.
Not just any
Lair Bear, no, Lair Bear. Lawrence Gilligan Cook. Get over here.
It's Lawrence Rupert.
Rupert. Oh, I love it. Rupert.
And now he's going to want to tug. So we're going to put it up because it's so noisy. Yeah, but that's so important, man. If you build a brand and you have a vision and it's like nobody, I mean, I don't think anybody just like farts out talent. You can have the talent, but if you're not
dedicated to it, I'm right here. Sit down.
You got to dedicate to it. You got to have an idea. How's your business going to look? What is your brand about? What's the message? What's your like power behind it? And you don't have to share every sad story of your personal life, but like you do have to have an identity, and your brand is what's going to push the prices of those pieces. So create a brand, like go after it.
I love it.
And then I don't know.
I love it. It's like, you're also, so you've been one of the most like inventive people with like how to find money. Cause like you've always shared, like Dan and I legitimately have followed you since the beginning, since like probably you didn't even have your kid yet.
Yes, I've been following her before she
literally for like the last 5 years when we started out on Instagram as well, because we all started around the same time. And like I watched you buy a SauceStop, and I'll never forget this. It was $35 at a time because you were selling the Pay Me Bitches signs. Pay Me Bitches,
the little rounds. Yeah,
and you were making so many of them, and you literally bought that SauceStop. You went from like, yeah, like that old Rigid or something, right?
Oh my God, the death Rigid. Where the belt was going out, and I would call customer service and I'd be like, yo, here's this recording. This is what happens when I turn my saw on. And their answer was every time it turned around. And it's like, I swear, it's like even a 2x4 would stop the blade. I'm like, come on.
Like, so you took some, you know, you really took in some ingenuity in this, and you decided to do like batch work of like signs. Not batchwork of something simple or like a, you know, one-off piece. Like, no offense to Dan and myself, because we literally all we do is batchwork, but of like simpler items. Facts. You did those. You did the whole Maker Skulls. You're one of the few people that you basically did product drops or merch drops where like, hey, I suddenly have 100 of these. Go. And people bought them up like hotcakes. You also do a raffle as well, monthly raffle, correct?
Exclusivity sells. So I will hustle. I've been dead broke before. I'm like, and this is what
chicken and rice. I also heard
chicken and rice.
I heard this really good piece of advice that was like, so it's going to sound harsh at first, but roll with me. So like me, I'm a single mom, like, and single. So I am going to stop taking business advice from someone who's not a single mom. And for me, that like has also rang true because I was getting in a comparison bracket. But like where I'm at is, it's like I only want to show people what's possible, and what's possible is going to be different for everyone's like starting point. But like one thing I will say my life has taught me is like, I'll hustle. I'll get a dollar. I've been so broke that I've been like probably floating some checks. So I'm like, you know what? I'll get a dollar. So you learn different ways. You like learn different things. So it's like there was so much figuring out. Like I got like dirty with like, how do people want to, like, what gets money? So a few things that I realized was exclusivity sells and creating a brand. So no one was doing cool merch. We're all doing our ugly logos on Bella Canvas t-shirts, and that's cool and all.
If you want a local woodworker, support your local woodworker shirt on a Bella Canvas.
Print it on a Bella Canvas.
That's not ugly. It's a design, and that's the difference.
Thank you.
That's a design, and that's what sells. And so it's like, I just wanted to like get creative and see, but like exclusivity sells, having a brand item. So those Maker Skulls, but creating hustle around it. And this is going to sell so gimmicky because like truly I'm passionate about it, but I'm like, that's the Maker Gang. Like, who has a skull in their garage? Let's get this going. Oh, so-and-so just joined the Maker Gang. Let's get another skull. It's a design. There are like 12 people that have my maker school tattooed on their body. Like, excuse. One guy has a throat tattoo.
What?
Hard. Like, that's dirty. And so it's like when you create something like that, it gets a buzz around it. Like, create something for your brand. What represents you? I'm like, I am a maker through and through. This is what's changed my life. We're going to like till death this shit. And so then it's like, man, okay, this saying on a t-shirt, till death do us art. Yeah, let's do it. Let's put boobies.
I love that one.
I like that.
Why not? Yeah. And so it's like getting like creative with stuff like that was always fun for me, but exclusivity will always sell. I can sit with t-shirts on my website all day long right now, not selling. I come out with a new design and I say, there is 75 of these, they'll be gone. And so it's like there are little marketing games that you start to realize. And I'm
merch
not like
drops.
Yeah. Limited merch edition. Merch drops, but also valuing like what it is that you're offering, like put out teaser content and then sell your tutorials. That's the best thing I ever did for my business was put professionally filmed, had a professional videographer out, filmed my tutorials, and those tutorials stand true now. I still use the methods. I want to adjust some things, but I'm like, every person has value. And I think the biggest hump in business is believing that you do. So like, show up with your voice, have an identity, have a brand gimmick, as gimmicky as that sounds, like have something that makes you easily identifiable. And like run with it. Doesn't mean you can't have variety in your work, but like, who are you? And make that obvious and people will buy in and show up and keep showing up and be dedicated for the times you aren't motivated and stick to it and just keep at it.
Right on.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And like, so I mentioned you being a fashion icon in my intro, like you created merch around your brand. Like you have a brand and it's not just like, again, no offense to anyone using like Printful or whatever, like not a basic Bella canvas print on demand shirt. Like you actually focus on small businesses in your area, printing this stuff for you.
Yeah. So I use a guy right now.
These drops.
Yeah. So I use a guy right now, Damon Strawberry Hill. He ranches half the time and has this little tiny t-shirt business the rest. So he makes all of my stuff right now. I've used two other small businesses before, but since I moved here, I was looking for someone local. But it's also like people want what represents them. And there was a need in the market for like cool woodworker stuff. Like, I'm sorry, but none of us girls want to wear like sawdusted mice.
What is man glitter?
Sawdust is my man glitter. Like, we don't want to wear sawdust as my man glitter.
Sexist, Lizzie.
Like, get out. So you know
I'm a dude and I don't even want to wear that shirt. I own one.
I own one as well because it's been gifted to us. Yes. We've all gotten one.
Exactly, because when you look up woodworker items, there's nothing cool. So I was like, I'm going to put a maker skull on a t-shirt and then I'm going to put a snake on it and then I'm going to put a kitty on it and then I'm going to put boobies on it. Let's go.
You had me a boobies.
Nick.
Boobies on everything, man. It's like, let's be... Like, I want to make a statement. Like, I never want to be like a sexy girl page. Like, I don't want that to be the thing, but I do want to be like, we're girls, we're showing up here. Like, ride the line. Like, let's have some fun. You have a personality. If I can look at a statue in Rome with a little pee-pee on it, you can look at my boobies on a shirt.
Wait, is that considered little?
But
stop it, Dan. Go reevaluate your life while I ask another question. So aside from the product drops and obviously the content and the products you sell, you recently, within the last year or so, you started doing scroll saw classes and courses, as well as I think a painting course, right? You had like a
So that was actually in 2019. We could drop some numbers on that, but that's evergreen. So I sell probably now still at least a tutorial a day, which isn't a ton. They sell from 35 to 50, but it's like you're creating evergreen content that's going to stay there and it's well shot. And I need to do better. Like I need to do better. There's so many things and so many ideas I have. I think like next year, I want to be goal focused on like creating pages on my website that it's like, if someone's just Googling, what's a beginner scroll saw? Like I got a great article that I can direct you to that's going to walk you through all of those things. I have a child. Yeah.
True.
Childbirth.
Oh, she's supposed to be watching a movie to go to sleep, but.
Well, Crew's been such a big part of your content. It's only appropriate that she would join a podcast as well.
Yeah, bring her on.
And you have to behave, though. You gotta be. Yeah.
I'm a father.
No mayo jokes. Yep.
How it works. I get it.
Oh, do you, Dan? Oh, do you?
I do, actually.
Is he good?
Look, here's Max. I'm a good dad for Max.
He's a dog dad.
There he's lounging. Well, my child's getting like a little free for all tonight, so we can do this. But I'm like,
well, we appreciate
you, wild in there, you know,
let you go for a little bit. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about Crew, your daughter. Anyone that's been following you for a while, like we've watched your kid grow up with you. Like her and Larry have been just like part of your content since I feel like the beginning.
Well, yeah,
since the beginning.
Crew changed my life, which like I feel like any parent can say, but like man, Crew just changed everything for me. Crew made so like at that point that I had Crew, I had been what out the J Dub for like 2.5 years maybe. And
can you back up a little bit and tell us what the J Dub is?
Well, I was raised as one of Jehovah's Witnesses, which I think was like widely mainstream accepted by almost anybody but them that it's a cult. So and like, I think they're the only ones that are still sticking to like, no, we're Christian-ish and that are not. So it's a very strange dynamic and a very strange life. And it taught me a lot about myself and it's why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing. But like when you leave something like that, so I left like 24 turning 25, that's a weird time to start your life. And that's right. Like, I did bartending and like a job here and there. But like, man, when I found woodworking, it was the first time that I'm like, oof.
I like this.
I can just think. And it's like, I've always drawn, I've always painted, always did little creative things. And like, I came about woodworking, like Jehovah's Witnesses, you all get married when you're 18. So I was like, right, married right out the gate. And it was so bad. It was so abusive. But like, his dad owned a lumberyard. So I found some tools. And I'm like, you know what? That dude's passed out drunk. I'm going to go hammer some shit in the garage. Like, what are you going to do? I'm like putting 2x4s together. I'm like, look at the pretty thing I made. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. But like that kind of sticks with you. So when it got to the artsy side, quit being sassy. Come here, bub. When it came to the artsy side, it was like the first time I feel like I found something. And so I like crafted around, did that a little bit here and there. And in 2019, January, I was like, I'm going to do this full time because I had the audacity. I was like, I can do this. You know what? I'm like bartending somewhere crappy at the time. And I'm telling everybody, another thing about your business is you are your biggest promotion for it.
Yes.
You're your biggest promotion for it. So even when I'm bartending, hey, how are you? I'm like, I bet you didn't know that I was going to tell you exactly how I am and what I'm working on in the garage. And my ask me, but I'm sure gonna. So it's like January 2019. I finally figured out I really like this. I'm going to go full time with this. And in okay, maybe stop. Four is the best age. They speak English. You can communicate. They go to the bathroom on their own. Like, done. I'm like, off to college.
Wait till she gets to 14. It's a whole new world.
Okay, baby. What'd you say?
Wait till she gets to 14. Whole new world.
14 was rough for me. I don't know that I'm.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a yikes. Then in August, I found out that I was having Crew. And it's like everything that I had been. What? Oh, we gotta get some toilet paper. Hold on, this is important.
That's fine. So
honestly, right. Though, you tell me, where were we at? I think we were talking.
Well, you're talking about like, you know, finding out that you're pregnant with Crew.
Oh man, when I found out I was pregnant, it's like it like clicked. Like anything that I hadn't had, like the guts to stick up for myself for, was so easy to stick up for Crew. Or like anything that like I was like looking for or trying to figure out made so much sense when she was involved. Cause it's like, it taught me so much about myself. Cause I had no confidence. Like I said, like you come out of this thing as like 2 years of figuring life out, you know, but when you have her, I'm like, oh, done. That's an easy decision. oh no, we're not gonna let that happen anymore. Or no, we're changing this. And so it's like me and her from that point on, I was like done. Like at the time, yeah. I'm like, it just made so much, anything with her made so much sense. And anything like hard was worth it for her. It's like, it just unlocked this thing. It like clicked for me what I didn't understand. And I think it's because no one chose me before. And it was like the first time that I had something to choose that was so worth it. And I was like, this is what I should have had. And I can give this to her. And ever since then, it's like, she's just made it easy. Like it's easy to work hard for someone like her. And it just changes so much. So I want her to like see all of that and be involved in it. And like, she loves the garage, which like makes me happy. I don't push it too much, but like she does, she wants to go out, even if she's just playing her pool.
Is being raised in it, you know?
Yeah. Raised in it, but like, it's never forced. Like there's always exposure, but I'm never like, you have to stay out here. I'm just like, do you want to come out here and draw? Do you want to come out here and play Play-Doh? And she loves
presenting the option, and she's choosing that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wonderful.
Exactly.
So that kind of brings me to like another subject. Like you talked about like leaving JW, you know, and like
Larry, calm down.
Like yeah. you're bringing up your daughter now in, you know, dare I say another community. Like you moved completely out of a community into this maker community. And I don't know about you guys, but I was brought up with like the internet is evil. If you meet people off the internet, they'll murder you. Most of my good, close, and best friends are people that I, for the longest time, have never met, and then met and was like, oh, this is exactly like online. This is great. You know, so like we're very lucky because we have ended up in this wonderful community. And you're one of the first people that I remember like years ago, like you seeing you hang out with other makers, other scrawler artists, other maker girlies, like be like, girls can do this too, guys. Like, shut up, you know, and just like crush it. Like recently, I think Ashley's.
Oh my God. Ashley's, yeah. That was Becca, so
Claire, all them. Like you guys went on like this little excursion. I'm like, oh, this is what we need to do. We don't need like maker camp or whatever. Like we should just plan vacations. Let's go to Vegas. Let's go to Cali.
Let's get a house. Like, yeah.
Exactly. So like, talk about finding the community and bringing your daughter up in that, because I think this is one of the best I can't wait to have kids so I can be like, yo, we're doing this. You're part of this now, whether you like it or not.
it's extra personal for me because when you're disfellowshipped, like Jehovah's Witnesses do, I mean, they have a stricter shunning practice than Mormon, which is like very surprising because I think everyone knows about Mormons a little more publicly, like in their shunning practice, but Jehovah's Witnesses are intense. So the day that I was disfellowshipped was the last day that I spoke to my mother. Oh. And I mean, I say that it's fine. And I don't mean that with like sympathy. I mean, that's fine. You don't want those people in your life. And we've had like run-ins over like some family health things. But other than that, when you're disfellowshipped, you are out there. So when I found this community, which, you know, was about 2.5 years after I was disfellowshipped, I had spent that 2.5 years, honestly, very depressed. And so when I came into this community and it was so supportive, which is why I think it's so important to like, there's room for everybody, like get over it.
Yeah.
Like, come on, like share some things, share around, be freaking nice to people. I found this community that was like willing to share. It was like people with a similar interest. I didn't feel like I was like on the outside of something. I felt like I was included. I like found a voice in it. And so meeting those people was even more personal for me because that was my friends. I had two friends from back home that had become close friends. And it's those friends that you grow, I guess I would say like maybe other people have those friends they grew up with, but maybe you don't share the same interest. So those were my friends. But when I came into this, I'm like, you mean to tell me there's like some 26-year-old girl who would rather just be a garage troll? Like how cool. I should be friends with her.
No, like, garage queen.
Garage queen. Scroll troll. So that's my next shirt. It's going to be scroll troll shirts with a little like troll under the bridge.
I don't even scroll and I'd buy that.
I know. But it's like when I found that, I'm like, and to me, with like not a lot of internet access before, I'm like, it was just wild to me. And it still blows my mind. Like, even at Maker Camp, I'm like, this is about the only group of people that could be in the middle of the rain, sloshing in the mud. And they're just like, yo, this is.
You say rain loosely. It was absolutely freaking pouring.
I'm like, what other group of people? So meeting those people and building that community is part of when I rebranded and I like switched my name. And I, like I said, creating a brand was like one of those like goal business moments for me. I was like, it's going to be the House of Timber. Like, this is a house. Like, I've never had a house. I've never had a home, but this is the House of Timber. And underneath the House of Timber, everyone is accepted.
Because you don't want to do Brick House because that was already a song. SEO was shot.
Totally. SEO was shot on that.
So House of Timber. House of Timber.
I love this. I've never heard you talk about this specific thing. And that is inspirational as hell. I love it.
This is our home. Like, you can come here. This is a place for everybody. We're going to figure this shit out together. And this, like, the home that I built and the community I built, really did start with the House of Timber, which sounds dramatic to say, but my life is weird. So like, it really was like, that was the first place I got to show up as Lizzie unfiltered. It wasn't Lizzie worried how I was dressed. It wasn't Lizzie worried about my like modesty. So I don't make some man think some things. Y'all are weird. You're going to think it anyways. I'm just
dudes are weird for sure.
Dudes are weird. Yeah. I'm like, this is the first time I got to be unfiltered. I'm like, no, this is what feels like home. These are like my people. This is what Lawrence Rupert, he wants, I think, water. So I was like, this is the House of Timber. And it was exactly that. I've met Claire. I met Renee. I've met Lauren. We take girl maker trips. I'm like, who are we? That like, this is my family. This is my people. I'm like, I met a girl on Instagram and now my kid calls her Aunt Claire.
Oh,
come on. That's awesome. Love it. Sorry.
I mean, like, even so, I remember, so Adrian, we're talking about Maker Camp a little bit. So Adrian taught the Scroll Saw class with you at Maker Camp. And like, I remember when Adrian was first getting into Scroll Saw work, she was like, oh, like, Lizzie, House of Timber, like, shouldn't talk about you, whatever. And then you guys are both running a booth. Like, you know, she loves you. She loves your work. Me and Emma have been following you for years, my wife. And like, you need to know that you're a big inspiration to a lot of people in this community. And not just people getting
not just scroll sawers.
Well, like, anyone that wants to make signs, like, the standard is House of Timber.
Absolutely.
I need you to know that. I need you to actually know that. Yeah,
I'm just gonna smile here awkwardly because
listen, I'm not trying to flatter you or anything like that. It's just for years I've heard of people talking about making signs or do stuff like that, and then like the words House of Timber comes out of people's mouths more than you think. So just know that whatever you're doing, it's working.
There's so many people that I look up to too, and that's what I mean about like finding.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. But there's so many people that do that and it's so approachable. Like, in what other world can I message someone like Keith Johnson and get a reply in this
world? Oh, God, here we go.
Here we go. Oh, God.
You know what I mean? And it's like, but anybody like that you would like look and I'm like, I don't even know if I could approach this person. And it's like, everyone here generally, that's like where I'm at. I'm like, I want to show, I've tapped into something that like on a really personal level has brought me peace. Like, everybody should have at least a little slice of that. And then if you want to get good at it, take a bigger slice. Like, let's go.
I agree. And Pete and I actually talk about this fairly regularly. It's pretty insane how we started in this community as like quote unquote nobody has been. It's pretty amazing how we can reach out to the quote unquote maker celebrities and they're also,
they know who we are.
Like, they know who we are, but it doesn't even matter if like, if we are who we are, or if we're somebody else, like they will respond and they will give you the time of day and they will help you through your little problem or whatever. It's this community is amazing.
I think it's because we all have that like same fucked up thing in common. We're like, why do we like this so much?
Because we're all a bunch of introverts that have like imposter syndrome and think we're like not as important as we think. So we try to give everyone the right amount of limelight and like respond to everyone and treat them right. Because we know what it's like to be on the other side of it too.
Yeah.
And, exactly. And also going back to, you know, when you're talking about like the House of Timber and how it all started and like trying to just hustle and make money, like a lot of us got into woodworking because we were broke. We couldn't afford the nice furniture. Couldn't afford nice tools. So like my entire,
I had to make a couch out of toothpicks.
Tools now. All of my tools were hand-me-downs. I had Ryobi, true blue Ryobi tools for longest time. Old little contractor saw that I built a whole table around. I thought I had a big table saw. Like over the years, I just upgraded and upgraded. I restored old tools. Like that's how a lot of us got started. It's just with nothing. Yeah. Worked our butts off to get something nicer and nicer and nicer. And now we can like, we have everything we need, or at least we're in a good spot and we can like pay that forward to other people. So like that really resonates with me because I legitimately, like I had no money to put into this hobby. So every tool I bought had more rust on it than metal. And I started
with a, so when I got divorced from the Jehovah's Witness thing, I took his miter saw and I feel like that was like my salty little girl dig, like screw you. But like, instead of like throwing his clothes in the yard, I'm like, whatever shitty tools in your garage is mine. Screw you, man. And so like, I used to tell this story of like this traveling table or this traveling miter saw is what it was. And it's like, I didn't use that miter saw for the longest time. It just like sat as like this bad, like memory. It was in the shed.
Old rigid.
It was this old, it was red. So I think it was actually like a skill saw miter saw. Yeah. It was like a skill saw miter saw. And then like one day I just like pulled it out and I'm like, I used to do this. Like it used to make me happy when like my life was sad. Like I would make little things. So I'm like, why haven't I pulled it out? Why did I take it with me? But it's like, even a little part of me knew that like, you might want this someday, you know, like we should just take the saw. So it's like, whatever I could build with the miter saw, I was building like these junky things. And like, oh man, I don't even know. I didn't even know
what you were making. It's getting it out of your system.
Creating. It was like making something and I was like hacking pallets apart in my apartment, like in the kitchen, because that was the only spot that had tile instead of carpet. And then I took that miter saw to the next house. And then I took that miter saw to Nashville. And I'm like, what am I doing dragging this miter saw around? And then I went to Home Depot and I bought $100 Ryobi scroll saw, which is an actual piece of junk. But on that $100 saw, I made three signs. I think I popped about $500 off the three signs. Lettering was crappy. I think I cut it out of like 1-inch pine. So it's like I had these like 3/4-inch like pine let. It's so, so bad, man. But I made 500. Someone was dumb enough to pay me $500. So then I bought a
door. God bless those people.
The audacity I had to be like, this is worth 150 for sure, for sure. So I bought a DeWalt and then it's like, oh, wait. That was when it clicked that I was like, not all tools are the same. Hold up.
Wait, this actually works.
This actually works.
I remember Adrian fighting with that old Delta that they had there. Listen, it's old. It's traditional. That thing will run forever.
As long as
you have good power, but you got to treat it right. But the DeWalt is actually really nice.
Yeah. But it's like, I also feel like it's like this rite of passage. Like if you haven't worked on shitty tools, like have you earned it? Like I have. Right.
you can't just come into this world with Festool.
You can't go straight you have to start Festool out 20-inch planer and
you
stuff.
You can't just start on a Powermatic. Excuse me. Well,
there goes quarter of our listeners. Sorry, guys. But it is a rite of passage. I do.
I know that. It is a rite of. Okay, Chile.
You're getting sass. Yeah,
the sass man on this teenager I got.
Wow, where did you get it from, like, right? Am I right?
I don't know. It's like I'm a little bit salty or something. I think there's something about it, though, that it's like that's a true testament to like if you're dedicated to something, is it's like you'll stick something out and then you'll still like it. You're like, wait. If there's still something there during those, and then that's it. You buy new tools, you upgrade the shop, you do whatever. But I think we all started because I'm like, I can't afford to buy that coffee table. I'm surely going to build it out of 2x4s and it's going to look 10 times worse, but I made it.
Absolutely. I currently still have an Anna White inspired coffee table in my other living room.
Larry, stop. Come here, bud.
So, you know, we're kind of growing up in this community. We're often told, like, you got to cast a wide net. You got to try. You have to do TikTok shop now. You got to be doing YouTube. How come you're not on TikTok? How come you don't have a Twitter? You're not on WhatsApp. You're not like it's all, there's all these apps and things to do, but you are very strategically pretty much just on your own website and just on Instagram. I know you have a TikTok and you have a YouTube that you recently started
using. I posted my first video. It got 33 views. Whoop, whoop.
Hey-o. Yeah.
It was a little partnership, right?
Little partnership with Walrus Oil, which, so this is my thing. Like, I'm
great
not.
Great company, by the way. Sorry.
I love it. My family is losing their mind right now.
And if you haven't seen a video yet, just check it out. It's a short little 3-minute video on Lizzie's channel, which will be in the show notes.
I don't think I'm ever going to be someone who's like massive on YouTube or that's going to be like a super big goal of mine because I don't enjoy content creation. And so for me, I'm like, why would I chase the thing that I don't enjoy if it's just going to make me money? Like, why don't I try to find?
I want to take a quiet note right here, a little timestamp. I want everybody to come back to this moment right here where Lizzie said, I don't think I'm going to, you know, chase YouTube or whatever. Let's come back to this in like a year or 2 years.
We can come back later. If someone does it for me, great. But you know what I don't actually love doing? Recording myself. So even with Instagram, it's a means to an end. So for me, it's like, you know, the peace I would have to just chuck this thing in the trash and go about my peaceful life in the garage. So I try to find a level where I'm able to preserve some of my peace because my freaking motto, I don't need to make more. I need to live on less. So I'm not going to chase something solely for money. I'm going to chase it if it's going to be supportive of another
or happiness.
Yeah. Happiness, actual happiness.
I love it.
And like, yes, I'll do
some, I'm on board.
I'll do some things for money, obviously, but it's like, the reason I don't think I'm going to be huge on TikTok is because I don't have super consumable cheap items. So like even for TikTok shop, you have to ship in like, it's like 3 business days. They'd give you to ship.
Days.
I have absolutely nothing that I can ship in 3 business days. So like, I don't think that TikTok's going to be a major avenue for me. Maybe on some affiliates to say, maybe I could do like a little affiliate thing and have
you
like.
You could always post thirst traps and stuff, you know?
That's big on TikTok, apparently.
I'm too old.
I do thirst traps.
Is it too old?
Too old and I'm too tired. I'm exhausted.
I'm too old. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm done. When it comes to Facebook, like for once, I thought my Facebook was growing and then it got hacked and then I had to start over and then I'm like, whatever. I'm like, whatever. Fine. When it comes to like YouTube, like the sponsorship things, like I'm not creating the content that I want. So again, let's pivot. So my pivot was, I'm not good at these campaigns. I'm not good at these quick, one-time content sponsorships. But you know what I could probably do is reach out to companies that I actually use. And let me go to those companies and ask, because all you're going to get told is no. So why don't I see if I can work out a brand partnership with them where they pay me a little bit each month for collaborative content on Instagram, the app that I'm already using. And every company that I have approached so far has said yes. And it's like, was that a door? Like, you can create your own doors. It's possible. You don't have to do just what everybody else is doing. If you're not somebody that wants to be huge on YouTube and you're not going to be somebody that wants to be huge, if that's not your thing, find a door that is your thing, like see if it opens for you. And so it's like, for me, just like that video, I could go to Dave and like, he's amazing. He'd be like, Dave, could you bring me on for like some collaborative content? Here's a video showing like how I would like showcase Walrus Oil because I really love it. And Dave said, yes. And it's like, that can happen for you. Yeah. And then you can be like, hey, Dave, do you want to do that for like 12 months?
I love Walrus Oil because it not only is it a great product, but it's run by people that are actually genuine and good people.
snap yeah. back.
And I won't go any deeper. I won't go any deeper in why I like Walrus yeah. Oil, but they're yeah. fantastic.
They're a great company. Yeah. No, so it's great. I love that approach because we're constantly shouted at. We're flooded on social media with mm-hmm. other people's success. I get texted every day with like, dude, you got to be doing this. Like, how come you're not on YouTube? Like, you got to be doing TikTok shop. Like, you got to do this. And I'm just like, I'm trying to like do all these things. And I go, I'm doing a quarter ass job at all of it instead of yeah. focusing on one thing and doing a good job. Yeah. And you're someone that like, you know, you could say like, oh, I'm not really doing much. I'm not trying to do this, whatever. Like somehow you have become a household, at least a maker household name. Like a maker household name. That's fair. Like, you know, wives know who you are. Husbands know who you are.
I just get brought up at the dinner table. But I think like everybody's business is going to look different. And I get caught up in the same thing. And like, man, am I so freaking sick of hearing, here's how much my business made me while I was at the beach or blah, blah, blah. Here's how much I made in a day. And it's like, it's not realistic. And that's what kind of what I was trying to talk about earlier. Like, I'm not going to relate to those lives. Cause you know what? Like we didn't have the same start. So for one, don't even get me started because you didn't start at $0. There's a few people who started $0, and the people who started $0,
or floating checks dollars.
Yeah, that's the thing. All you need is a website, 30 minutes, and a $12,000 check from your parents. That's it.
It's not. I mean, we could go deeper than that, but like money, I did not have. So it's like I'm not going to find a way. And so for even me, like I still almost like have that mindset. Like I always want my work to be approachable. I want everybody to feel like they can come to my page and like the shit that I'm teaching, it's dumb simple. If you are on my like subscriber side, which was another thing, it's like another way to monetize what you're already putting out there. And like I make money in these little ways, but it's more approachable for me to like find avenues like that and think, let's start my YouTube career, which I don't like doing anyways. But you know what is approachable? Reaching out to a company saying, hey, I put out content like this, which is this is what I did with my first set of videos. And those videos have made over six figures since I've put them out. And I went to a company and I said, hey, would you sponsor me in the form of hiring a videographer? You don't even have to pay me. For a company, they look at a number like that. They've got these big names, big influences that are like bleeding them dry of like $8,000 just to drop their name. I'm asking for $1,500 over here.
That's a great approach. So you actually approached a company to provide you with
professional content. To provide a videographer creation. To put out these tutorials. If I could own the content and if I obviously wore their stuff, pushed it, and that he is the only link in that video. So it's like anything that like, which it is a great, and make sure that that company is one you like don't sell yourself out, but like, I love using their scroll saw. It's what I use. So those are my Bearwoods tutorials. And I like still stand by every product used in the video, but I only approach them in the form of like, and that to me was a small hurdle to jump than looking at a massive YouTube person and thinking, how do I attain that tomorrow? I'm not gonna, but you know, my start, could you sponsor this in the form of a videographer? I'm going to make paid tutorials. And now I have this amazing evergreen content that's professionally shot and the YouTube videos I would want to put out, but I have no idea how to. So it's like, if there's something that you want to attain, there's always a back door. There's just always a back door that makes it possible. And that has been, I've made more money that way than I would have monetizing those videos and putting them out publicly.
Wow.
So do I regret not having a massive YouTube following in terms of numbers? No. Like I've made more that way. And it's the same. So like even for sponsorships, I'm not going to land some 10 grand Home Depot sponsorship. I'm just not going to do it. But I bet there's maybe 10 companies that I could reach out to for a smaller amount and say, hey, I'm already using your stuff. You want to bring me on for some collaborative content. And I mean, so what if they tell you no, because a few of them are going to tell you yes. And now you've got your foot in the door doing collaborative paid content and you build a relationship in an accessible way that isn't this huge hurdle. So for me, any little thing I'm doing with business is always just like in a bite that I can handle because I can't do the rest of that.
It's like one of my heroes says, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Michael Scott, Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. You know, we're taught, like I said, we're taught to cast a wide net. But yeah. I love that you're putting some light on just fishing with a pole. One fish at a time. Yeah. Focus on that. And you can still, like, you're clearly alive. You're eating. You have a house you're sleeping in. Your dog has food and your daughter has food. Like you're fine. You're doing fine. You're living and learning. Unless you're also making enough to survive and thrive. Yeah. And you're doing a good job. So, like, that's what I want to stress here. It's like, there's, you can do plenty. You don't have to be, you don't have to be Keith Johnson.
Like, who's that guy?
Yeah, who's that
Screw
guy?
Screw Keith.
You know why. Literally here today. Yeah. Like, I love Keith. I'm so glad I met him. But, like, you know, he's still to this day, like, intimidating to me. Because, like, he deals on a whole different level.
But, like, he's the first person that took the time to explain router direction to me in a way that my brain could make sense of. And I have his text message saved. And so anytime I think of that, I'm like, well, Keith told me outside of the circle counterclockwise, inside of the circle clockwise. This is
well, I got bad news for you. It's all wrong.
But man, it's just little things like that. Cause we look at some of these mega influencers and I'm like, dude, there's no way. You tell someone they're going to get that tomorrow. They can't. But if I tell you, it's like, I talk to people who are still like, they're still afraid of even asking a company to send free product. And I'm like, each of these are a little hurdle. And
that,
like,
you cast a wide net. That you could just be like, hey,
send me some shoes.
I use your stuff anyways. Let's go. Let's talk.
Now you start asking, oh, this is a content I put out. Here's some past content I did with this tool. I'd love to get a feature of your tool in here. My rate for that would be $350. How do you feel about that? And it's like, once you, it's the same with pricing as it is on like the sponsory stuff. So I, full disclosure, I get paid by a few companies that I work with on like a monthly basis. I am not getting thousands of dollars from any of them because it's not a goal that I'm chasing. And I like to take the little sponsorship things a chunk at a time. I'm fortunate to get a few tools sent in exchange for some videos and maybe a little payment, but I'm like, it's possible to be sick, to find success at every level. So like, chase your goal and what makes you happy, but like preserve the happiness.
There it is.
I
preach that all the time. Yep. Like, I just want to be happy.
Yes. Yeah. For me, which I tell people all the time, you know, like, I do some like mentory type things on the subscriber side of my page. So it's like, if I'm talking to someone and I'm like, it's as dumb simple as working backwards. You need to make $5,000 off your woodworking this month. Let's break it down. So if we reach out to these companies, we can tack off, you know, whatever. If you even make $350, and I've worked backwards, I work backwards in the same way. So I'm like, I want to make this much a month woodworking. I need half of it to be on signs. I need half of it to be on the rest. And then you can get creative. If you know where you need to be, which is why I think goals are important, you can take little bites to get there without having to take a big chunk. We don't have to do it all at once. And I don't know.
There's you literally just reminded me to reach out, like follow with a brand.
Yeah. I'm like,
we just like, we did that exact same thing. We just started casting a net and be like, hey, like, let's figure this out. Cause like, I can, so on a personal note, and I've talked about this on a podcast here, like I can relate to you a lot in a way because we're a single income household on paper. Like it's just me now. Like we retired my wife. My wife was a dance teacher. She danced for years, whatever. But like, I was like, you're miserable. You're working nights. You're working till 10, 11, and then driving an hour home. Like, let's have you home. You work your business. You help me with my business. And like the first couple of months was like, oh my God, I'm spending all this time like teaching her or whatever. But like now it's like, she's helping out. She's making it work. Dude. Like things are happening. Yeah. We're talking with brands that I never talked to before. Yeah. And the ball's rolling. And it's like, oh, if you just like focus and put your heart to certain things, like you can do this.
And if you have the audacity to show up, value that you bring, but that's the thing with anybody. It's like, sometimes I feel like, I mean, Workbench is such an amazing conference to see things like that. But I will say, even for me going, there's like this misconception with Instagram following, but like, let's get that real. Half of that is some bot I don't control the rest of it. Maybe some of it is like some foreign lovers who are trying to marry me or
come in. Are you looking for sugar daddy?
We're looking for sugar daddy, and I get a rose emoji. Like, you know, there's like half of that is weird. There is a core group, however, that is growing with my page, and that core group is my focus. But I'm like, that number itself doesn't mean anything. I walk into a place like Workbench and I'm like, whoa, there's these mega people. This is freaking insane. I don't think I could ever be at this level. But then when you talk to them, I don't think I ever want to be at that level. I really, really enjoy making signs. Like I love doing that. So how do I make the most out of that? So another thing is like double up. So if I'm going to get paid for a sign, what brands am I using that I could also get paid little chunks while I'm working on that sign? Yeah. So it's like, man, if I'm doing this sign and I'm using this sander and this clamp and this oil, I wonder if I could reach out to them and say, hey, I'm making this project. Do you want to get in? And I could post some great content on it. And so now, even in just that little way, you've made something you've loved, but you've tacked on some bonuses. And for me, that's enough. That's enough for right now. And we'll build on the rest of it later. But that's kind of how I like have started to attack like little things.
Love it. That.
Love it. Oh God, this episode is getting me fired up. But like, listen, so all right, we're not going to do a what's on a bench because that's too much. Let's get into some questions and then we can still continue the conversation, kind of go off.
Yeah, we have a bunch of questions yet. Yeah, and we haven't even gotten into
them. We haven't gotten into them, but like, this has been great so far. We could just sit here and interview you for like the next hour. But you have a kid and a dog to like.
The dog is super needy. I want to point that out.
Yeah, Lawrence is too much.
He's finally, if we're all really quiet, we'll probably hear him snore now. That's him. He's tapping out.
All right. Well, I'm going to play this little clip here that Dan recorded for the question segment.
Go, Black Betty. Ram on him.
Dan singing Black Betty. That's great. Well, I'm going to take a nap because this question is for the two of you. So I'm just going to play Scrabble or something.
Go, Black Betty. Ram on him.
I played the wrong thing twice.
What's up, gang? This is Nick from The Working Grain. So I have kind of a two-part question this week, and it's geared more towards those of us who have children. Sorry, Pete, Dan does not count as your child. But anyways, the first part of the question is more for Lizzie. So I have a 2.5-year-old, and my youngest will be 1 next month. And I'm always struggling to find time to spend with them and also get into the shop and get projects done. So I'm curious as to how you find the best balance between spending time with crew and getting your orders finished. I know you spend a lot of time with her in the shop, which is awesome to see. And I'm hoping to do that with my sons as they grow up a little more. And then the second part of the question is for Dan. Now that your kids are growing up a little bit more and more independent, was there ever a time that you had that struggle of work-life balance, you know, spending time with your kids, but also getting the projects finished, and how that's improved as they've grown up? Yeah, looking forward to hearing your answers, guys. Have a great day.
So, Lizzie, how do you find the work-life balance now that you have crew in your life?
Well, balance is bullshit, for one. There's nothing is ever going to be balanced. So, you know, let's get that out of the question.
I like it.
Get that out work-life of wobble.
Work-life wobble is like exactly what I would say. But with crew, like, you have to meet your kids where they're at. Like, they are people too. Like, they have their strong points and they have things that they're not the best at. So like, what I'm not going to do in my work day is like stress crew's weak points, but I will like emphasize her strong points. So I know that crew loves, which like, oh God, I posted on the internet and got so much hate for it, but crew loves milling lumber. Like, that kid will sit and catch a board on the end of the planer and think that's so fun. Like, she'll put her muffs on. So it's like, if there's something, if I'm gluing up, I'll put her messy clothes on because she absolutely loves to glue. Like, you can get so much done if you set your kid. I put out like packing paper, put her on a piece of paper, give her a glue bottle, little wood scraps, whatever. So I just try and celebrate her strong suits. But what she's not going to be good at is when I'm sitting and scrolling and she can't be a part of that. She's not actually going to be great at that. She might keep herself busy in the corner, but she's not getting to interact with me. Like, all your kids want to do is help. So I try, and I know I try and plan like that work life wobble around what's going to celebrate the things that she's good at today and what am I going to save for another time. And that's like how we kind of manage.
Yes, Pete, you have a question.
Sorry, I have not a question, but something to add on. I've been getting this content fed to me on TikTok. It's a cardboard, like,
yes,
scroll
invisible.
Saw thing.
I'm on the Kickstarter, dude. I want that for her.
That thing's so cool because, like, you can't get hurt. You can't stick your hand in, but it's just like a hole punch that just keeps going up and down, and it cuts through cardboard. It's literally like a little scroll saw. It's the perfect thing for her. Oh my God, it's awesome. Man. Next time I see it, I'll send it to you.
It's so cool. I think there's
what is it called again?
It's Invent. I think it's the Inventables, something like that. I follow them on Instagram too. It's amazing. It's so cool. I'll have to find it again. I thought it was.
But it's like a scroll saw, but you can't.
It is Inventables, indeed. It's not like Inventables, like the guys that created the Carbide 3D or whatever, like the other CNC. It's Inventables. Just search Inventable paper cutter or cardboard cutter. It's awesome. It's like a little scroll saw. I haven't seen it. Awesome.
It is. Huh. It's so cool. But it's like, that's all we really have to do. And like, there are days, and like, she's at an age now where she can understand. And like, I'm not a like iPad parent all the time, but like, we don't just nix technology. So it's like, absolutely, if I have her all day, I'll know to bring in the garage, do everything else, and save letting her watch that show for the time that I'm scrolling. Like, I just got to celebrate your kids' strong suits. And you, like, I try not to actually stress like moments of weakness where she's not going to be super patient, but all it is an involved, like, I'm okay working slower because working slow is like slow work is still work. So I'm okay working slower for the sake of including her. Cause like, obviously to me, that's important. So it's like, if I'm going to go out and work on a mosaic, I might get half as much done, but like work was still done and she was a part of it. So, you know, it's always worth it. And
one could say that's balance.
Yeah, one could say that that's maybe balance or a nice little wobble. And she does go to her dad's too. So when she's with her dad, like that's the time where I'm doing the stuff. She also loves running errands, but it's like I just try and condense all the things that are her strong suits. Like that kid loves the lumberyard. So I can get all of my material shopping done with her because she loves getting out for errands. I know that I can like mill with her because she thinks it's fun to like push on the planer. I know that I can get a glue up done because she loves to help with the clamps and glues. About the only thing I can't do in the garage with crew is a long scrolling session. And so I just kind of balance it that way.
So you're not necessarily like trying to dedicate time around one thing or the other. You're just trying to include everything all at once.
I try and include everything.
Vibe those like, together.
Yeah, but normally in the week I'll know like, okay, I have three signs to work on. So I need to get walnut milled for this one, oak milled for this one, whatever. So rather than like, if I know like Cruz goes to a sitter Tuesday and Thursdays. So I know that those Tuesdays and Thursdays, I don't really want to do the milling or the glue up on those days because crew can handle those things. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm going to focus on the scrolling, the thing that she doesn't like. But on the day that I have her, I know that we can mill up and get materials and go to the lumberyard. So I try and just like kind of pre-plan my week that focuses like on her strong suits. And also like, I don't care if she wants to watch the show for 30 minutes. So it is a balance, but it's like when I have help, I know that I'm going to focus on the heavy things that she doesn't like. And then when I have her, I'm going to focus on the things she likes doing with me. So a little bit of pre-planning, but just get them messy. And it's like, man, there is just a glue bottle will save yourself so much time and the cost of glue is low. So get your kids messy, man. And she has so much fun painting, gluing, putting little creations together. She has a blast. Like her just, I have some things that she's made. I should show you.
Just give her a bucket of offcuts and some glue and you're set.
Right.
Like, I mean, I remember playing with like scraps of wood when I was little and just,
you just gotta keep them occupied.
Yeah. It's like poor man's blocks, you know, but there were like really all weird rounded offcuts and stuff that wouldn't stack together. So
I've done the same thing with my children when they were younger. You just gotta keep them occupied. Yeah, exactly. Those are beautiful.
She is building a brand. You need to acknowledge that.
So any offcuts I have, like you said, a bucket of offcuts, and I'll give her some wood glue and some paint, and she will pull from those offcuts. I'm like,
that's clearly a butterfly.
That's what I'm saying. And she needed help gluing it up. And I was like, I was thinking, so in my brain, like we were going to make the middle and the wings were going to kind of go on top. And she very specifically told me exactly where I was supposed to glue these. And I was like, I don't see the vision, but like, whatever, you're the artist here.
The artist.
I was like, that's a dadgum butterfly. So like in her little dadgum mind, this is her butterfly. This is her snake. And it's like, if you give your kid
a great looking snake,
I think the problem is like, you have the urge to micromanage your kid. And like, I call it like woosah. Like you just gotta like, I'm like,
that's an old Seinfeld reference.
Loosey goosey. Like,
gotta just have the woosah. Let your kid be a kid. Your kids don't have your kid come into the garage and expect them not to get messy, because then you're setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
Don't have your kid come into the garage and expect to not have to stop and help them. Don't have your kid like set the expectation so you don't set yourself up for failure, but like, let her get messy. We have play clothes, dude. Have a bucket of wood and some glue and watch what they can do. And it'll honestly surprise you, because this is a butterfly.
I saw it instantly. I knew exactly what it was.
I know.
So the second part of Nick's question was, how have I managed since my children are older? I've been lucky enough that I've been self-employed since my daughter was 2.
Wow.
She's going to be 15 next month. So I've been lucky enough that I've always been able to like accommodate my schedule around my children. That's one of the beauties of being like self-employed. So, you know, I've always made family a priority over my work. I don't work 16 hours a day. I've never been that type of guy. I've always, you know, I keep a pretty loose schedule, but I won't work past like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Just for the fact that, you know, I don't want to be an absent father. I don't want to be that person that's so focused on my work and my career that, you know, I miss other things. So
yeah,
I've been very lucky in that. Pete, do you have anything to add? Anything?
No kids yet, but I'm getting good advice.
How do you balance your life with Emma?
Yeah.
A lot of fetch.
A lot of fetch. Oh my God.
No, for me, because I'm fat. She keeps me fit that way. She throws something and I go, oh, I got it, honey.
See, but I think like what Dan said is so true, because it's like, why are we glorifying like this? Like,
no, there's no reason to glorify, you know, Saturdays, hustling.
Yeah,
to the point where you're like exhausted. I've never understood that.
Or yeah,
all like, my time. I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. I don't want to be rich.
Yeah,
be happy.
Tonight I had, so tonight Brad and Lauren came over, and Lauren's dad and Ryder and crew were sitting and playing that little fishing hippo game. And it's like, I always joke to my friends that it's like, you know, I'm just in a different life phase. So it's like, most of my friends are married in these like stable situations. And I'm like over here, like in some kind of like, you know, whatever rental house, just different phase of life, you know? And it's like,
yeah, it's all a phase.
It's all a phase. But I looked at Lauren today and like, I told her at the table, and it's like, I could have teared up. It's like, I looked at everybody in this living room, like in this tiny house, like a smaller house compared to theirs or like whatever. But it's like, I cooked, my friends came over. I'm like, tell me I'm not wealthy.
Oh, wealthy and rich is two different things.
Because I feel very well. I feel very wealthy.
I am very wealthy. I am in no way rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like the glorified hustle of like, oh, say you'll do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life, and then just kidding, I work every single day. I'm like, no, you don't have to. Like,
yeah. I don't understand those reels and those TikToks where like you see them and they're like, oh, I started a business on my own and I wasn't supposed to work, and here I am working 90 hours a week. No, that's not how that's supposed to work.
That's another thing about how it's like the thing, which is why I think I related to that one specific reel. It's like, I no longer take business advice from people not in the same life, but also not with the same goal. And so what she stated, it sounded a little harsh, but she said, I'm not going to take business advice from mothers who don't prioritize spending the same amount of kids with time with their kids that I want to. Like, I want to follow the advice of a business owner who's hacked away to spend 3 days
making it work while having time. The whole idea, sorry to cut you off, but like this pisses me off when I hear like, you got to work 40 hours. And when people go, you work, you know, you do what you love, you work every hour, blah, blah, blah. Like, I work a 40 hour a week job. And on top of that, I work 60 hours running my business, sometimes catching up. But then there's like a day or two that I do nothing. You know, like that's what a weekend is. Because here's the thing. What most of us makers, because we're all broken in our head, we don't realize is that most people out there, they clock out of work and they don't have anything.
Yeah.
They watch a Netflix show. They spend 4 hours on TikTok. They read a book and they go to sleep. They have nothing else. And I don't mean to offend anyone, but like these people have no passion in their life aside from their job and just like existing. And which is, again, nothing wrong with it, but we're not like that. We're wired different. We have a passion, whether it's art, making, whatever, you know, like this community is like, I'm very passionate about it. And I'm okay doing those like 40 to 60 hours a week. It's the other 40 that's really stressing me out.
The other 40 that's the issue.
Yeah. But the idea is to slowly work hard enough. Like I was able to retire my wife, to have her work full time with me and spend time with me and work together. We actually genuinely like each other. So that's great. Like
that's awesome.
A great goal. Next goal is to have me walk away from work and then eventually dial it back to like, hey, maybe we work 6 hours a day, not 8 hours. And we only work 4 days a week and everything else is done. You know, maybe we outsource enough stuff to make sure that we can, even if I'm, you know, bringing in $250,000, but I'm spending $150,000 or more just to like maintain that. Like at the end of the day, my bills are paid. I'm happy. I'm not stressed. And I'm working less than 40 hours a week. That's my goal.
Yeah.
My goal is to not worry about where the bills are going to get paid or how they're going to get paid.
Yes, exactly.
As long as the bills get paid and there's food on the table and all that stuff, like I'm happy.
And I'm totally happy. Off topic here, but I want to share this with you guys because you two will understand this. So now that we're like doing this on our own thing, whatever, the last like 2 months, every month I'm like stressed about money. I'm like, oh my God, I have like I have this $3,000 credit card bill that because we put everything on one card. And then it's like, every month I just keep finding the money. I keep finding the money somewhere. It's like, oh, this job came in, this thing came in, whatever. And I was stressed out about next month. What if that money's not there? But I'm like, wait, is this what business ownership's like?
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate it. But it's like you just like, you're both got a little stressed, but you're excited because like, if I found $4,000 last month, I can find two this month.
That's
like,
what I... Kayla and I have those conversations
so
all the time.
Crazy, like, but like you guys get it more than anyone. And this is the first time that I've truly felt it in my bones. I'm like,
Kayla and
crap,
I have those conversations all the time. I've been self-employed since 2011. I don't have a steady paycheck. Money comes as it comes. Like it's just always going to
come.
But you have to get off your ass and find it. Like. Yeah. But I don't believe in the whole like work 16 hours a day. So we talk about that. And I'm like, Kayla, it's not just going to dry up overnight. It's not just going to disappear. You know, I'm not going to give up. Things will come up. I'm not worried
I had a revelation like when I was really broke. And so it's like my view of money has definitely been impacted, but I honestly think in a better way. Like I used to feed, so whatever frozen food we had, or like my husband at the time, I like his mom would send us home with like a bag of frozen chicken, right? But I would have to feed our dogs with the frozen chicken. And then I would go scrounge like $1.10. Remember when like a McDouble used to be like $1.10 done? It was like $1.09 or $1.10. So it's like, you know what? I could scrounge change for $1.10. Like we freaking lived like that. But I still realize that even when I came into a little bit of money, just like livable money, that like your life isn't going to be massively impacted by the one nice meal you buy at Chili's.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with time. So like with money and my attitude on money is it's like, I'm just so content with what I have and I'm okay paying for experiences. But also with time, I've realized the same thing is true with time that it was with like that little money splurge is if you splurge on your time. So my splurge on time to me is that little day off or a slow morning with crew. If I splurge on my time, it never actually affects the end goal in such a drastic way that I'm going to regret the 30 minutes we cuddled in bed. And yes. It's like just those little things. So it's like splurge with your time. Like time is something that like you don't have to have an extravagant vacation to have days off. You like you can splurge with your time in these like little ways that you start to feel yourself more in your life. And it like to me, that was like one of my little things that I realized that like it's never, I'm never actually going to regret the slow morning with crew. I'm never actually going to regret this phase where I only take her to the sitter 2 or 3 days a week. I'm never actually going to regret these splurges or this like my splurge on my time. You know, you never regret spending that evening with your wife or that 1 or 2 days off. And it's never going to be so worth it because your business is not going to advance so much in that 30 minutes here or that day splurge there that you still can't reach your end goal in the same realistic time frame. It just is not, it doesn't work like that.
I love that so much. Yes. Because it seems like you just have to be on all the time, especially if you open up TikTok or Instagram too many times and the feed is just telling you like, I made $3,000 today from blah, blah, blah. Like it's just overwhelming. It's okay to
Yeah, it's okay to have the time. Like set a business goal, yes, but like the time frame of your business goal isn't going to be impacted if you take 4 days a week off, probably. But is it going to be impacted if you have 1 day with your family? Is it going to be impacted if you close the shop doors at 5 p.m.? No, like, and I've hustled and I've like found increments of time where I was working later nights or like got up earlier. Absolutely, yes. Like get your goals and chase them and dedicate to them. But like splurging on yourself in the form of time with your family or time with your kid is not going to impact your overall business goals at the end of the day.
Time is the one commodity you cannot gain more of. Everybody has the same amount of time. I don't care if you're Jeff Bezos. Or if you're Peter Kapar, you all have the same amount of time.
Am I the low end of that?
You are.
Am I the bottom of the peak that is Bezos?
Seriously, though, it's little things like that, that it's like, I want to get away from that. Just like absolutely just like hustling every single
day. Why do we do this every day? We're doing this not for a better life at 60. I want to have a better life now.
Yeah,
I do it because I want to be happy now.
Yeah.
And so far I'm doing okay.
Yeah. The world truthfully is backwards. It's like spin on your little hamster wheel until your body's decrepit and now we'll give you some time off. And I'm like that model. Right?
And then you don't know how much time you have left.
Yeah.
After the hamster wheel is done spinning.
I want to enjoy it right now. But
even in the maker world, it's like, you got to get out of the mindset that you have to have a ton of followers to be successful. You got to get out of the mindset that you have to go viral to be successful. You got to get out of the mindset that you have to post on 5 social media apps a day to be successful. No. Set a goal, chip away at it, and attainable bites, and move the freak on with your life and enjoy your family. Like,
right on.
You're getting too deep. It's too deep. Right there. This is like a series now.
We'll get back
to do we have another question?
Let's just jump into the other question. So next one's from Malcolm, right? We haven't gotten him yet.
Malcolm over at Bossa Nova Woodworks. Malcolm,
the voice of AWP.
Hey guys, it's Malcolm from Bossa Nova Woodworks. And this week, I just want to say hi to Lizzie from House of Timber.
Hey.
Lizzie, you're a really talented maker, but I just love also that you lean into being a mom with your content. It's awesome. And I'm super impressed that the guys were able to land you as a guest this week.
It was very
difficult. Guys, keep it up. This is cool. Anyway, this week's question is about product development, sort of. I've been struggling to find something that I actually enjoy making that people will either buy or pay me to build. So I was wondering if each of you could talk a little bit about your process when you first started out, how you found things that people wanted to buy or pay you to build that you actually liked doing. And we all know it's a job and you don't have to like everything, but obviously as creators, we want to create things and we want people to appreciate those. So just walk me through some of that. I appreciate you. All right. Bye.
Solid.
Dan, you want to kick this one off?
Yeah, I'll go first. I wouldn't say that I've found myself in a place where I enjoy making what I make to make a living. What I've done is essentially, and I've talked about this before, it's like throwing wet noodles at the wall to see what sticks. Mm-hmm. You just never know, right? And lo and behold, long story short, I've found myself making zero clearance inserts and bow ties, and I sell them on Etsy. And everybody knows that at this point, I talk about it every freaking week. And it's not exactly like, it's not exactly inspirational.
Rocket science.
It's not exactly rocket science or inspirational.
Not like me, it's rocket science.
But it's a way to keep food on the table and keep my lifestyle where I enjoy it. So it kind of goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago. I'm able to maintain my happiness and maintain my family life and maintain my lifestyle, which is all that I really care about. I do care about the community. I do care about all those other things, but you know, in perspective, I care about keeping my lifestyle, keeping my family happy and all that stuff. So I just found my way into like this little niche where I'm able to sell products and keep all those things like in a line. Mm-hmm. And it just happened by happenstance. I didn't plan it. It certainly wasn't my goal when I started doing this stuff. It just... It's like I said, you're just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. And lo and behold, here I am. Right?
Yeah. I feel like that tracks. I remember all I liked doing was like building things, but I was like trying to discover all aspects of woodworking.
Right.
So on my Instagram page, I did a 500 follower giveaway. And his account now is called Once Upon a Workbench, Donovan.
Yes, I know of him. Yes.
But it used to be called the Beardless Man.
Yes.
I remember like that.
That's yeah. Such a cute baby face.
Yep.
And his logo.
Wasn't the my Beardless first year Man, like in the beard?
Yes, it was yes. The Beardless
my
Man.
My first year at Workbench Con, I approached him and I tried to talk to him and it was like super awkward. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go away now. But yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I love him because we're all so awkward. So I did a 500 follower giveaway and I was like a sign of like any kind, something scrolled. And he was the very first logo I ever scrolled. And nice. So I gave that away and someone else asked, oh, can I have this? But that was where you started to discover. So like on the other end, a market need. Uh-huh. And so for some reason it like, and because of that, I started to realize, I'm like, man, all of us little makers here in our garage, for some reason, we're not treating ourselves like businesses. So we never buy ourselves a sign. We never buy ourselves like a sign for our shop. And that's,
I can make that. I never will, but I can make that.
I can make that, but exactly. I never
we won't do it.
Yeah. And so for me on the other end of product development, it's always finding like, what's this little need? And so like, there was definitely like, is it a need? No, I guess like what's a want, but there was a whole section of people lacking this. And not that I wanted to take advantage of it, but like also, yes, I want to take advantage of it. They like didn't believe they deserved to have a logo. It's like they didn't treat themselves like a business or like an established.
Exactly.
Like, oh, well, I don't have a storefront, so I don't need a logo. And I'm like, no, this is what you're building. This is your passion. You deserve to have it represented. And now I feel like all of us cool makers, even I don't have my own logo in the garage just because I'm busy making all of yours. But it's like I realized that. And so then it's like, wow, this logo journey started. But then if you want people to come back to it, you kind of make it like create the story around it, which is like the whole brand thing. So for me, I'm like, brand your business, like get yourself a custom logo, like put this in your shop. Do you need something in the background of your YouTube video when you're recording videos, you're posting your content on Instagram? How great if you could see your sign, like things like that. And so then that's like how my product kind of developed into this like brand, but that the brand was something more. And then I realized, oh my gosh, all of us garage tools need represented. Let's get merch. Like, let's do this. Let's have a maker school. So for me, the product, while it did happen by happenstance, it like opened up a need. And so then I was like, let's dive into this in a way.
Yeah, it opened up the window and you kind of like opened it a little bit more.
And I like went into it. But then preserved the thing that I like to do, which is scrolling. So it's like, now I have to put the value in how am I going to make somebody going to, you know, buy a scroll saw sign for me instead of just putting up a banner. And that's when you create the like story of your brand. This is what I'm doing. You're supporting me and my daughter. Yes, this is how I'm doing it. How cool if your sign is cut by hand. How cool that we can get more creative with it. It's not a black and white banner, blah, 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 blah. And so then your products develop as well as your brand. And I like tried to find a way to preserve what I really liked doing in it, which was cutting by hand. But it still kind of, it still did kind of come about it by like, oops, thanks, Donovan, I guess.
I think it's kind of badass that you have made so many signs for so many brands, so many logos. It's Meanwhile, scary. The House of Timber lives in infamy, almost like Banksy. Like, it doesn't have a logo, but everyone freaking knows it. Like, no, but like, like you, because you don't have like a defined logo. There isn't like
there is
a House of Timber logo that like everyone's like, oh, that's House of
Timber. Yeah, so
I can make you one out of Comic Sans.
I could see a sign and be like, that's probably Lizzie's. Like Lizzie probably made
you. That. Comic Sans used to go to die. Comic Sans. I have
it scrolls so nicely.
The thing that I use most often is just this outline text, and then my thing is I always love a brand kit. Which is like another thing with merch and like designs is to like keep it interesting. If I never paid designers to come up with different things, I would have lost out on so much income. So like now the House of Timber, like I have the House of Timber and this is an extension cord. I think this is the naked girl on the extension cord. I have the girl that's like my tattoo taking a bite out of the wood cookie. So that's like one of my logos. And it's like
I have that on my lower back, by the way, that same thing.
Oh, I love that. And so that's like her. So I have all these different logo variations, but I do have the classic cursive one I've used. I've just never made myself a sign with it. And I'm like, that's such a maker thing to do.
What is the old saying? The
cobbler's kids,
the cobbler's children have no shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on the list. It's on the list. But I always think about my logo in so many ways. And it's like, I have so many ideas. It's like, hard for me to think, how would I make my own logo?
So some of the best advice that I ever got, and I can't even remember who said this to me, but it was how it like registered in my brain. It was, you want, when you're building a brand, when you're building a business, this is before I even had a logo, I was trying to figure out a logo for my business. Mm-hmm. And I ended up like, because we did a lot of hiking, climbing, and I was like evergreens and green trees. So we ended up with the two mountains with the little pine tree in the center. And it was Petrie's Workshop. Mm-hmm. And that's what I ended up with. And ironically, like for a while, I was like trying to figure out a logo. And I had already made a wooden like sign wall art thing of the mountains in the past. And it had like a little
A-frame in
there. But what the advice he gave me, going back to that, the advice he gave me was, you want to like think of Nike. Think of Louis Vuitton. Yeah. Think of Adidas. You don't need to see Nike. Adidas, no. Louis Vuitton, you see the LV, you see the mountains, you see the swoosh, you know exactly what it is. There's plenty of other brands that have 3, 4, 5 logos, and you see any of them from a mile away and you know who they are. So no matter how small your community is, like you need to be like, hey, people see that, that sign, that swoosh, that whatever, and go, oh, that's Moose, that's Two Moose, that's DDW, like that's Dan. You know, that's House of Timber. Like, you should be able to like be recognizable without even reading the words on the logo.
Yeah. Because
you build a brand around that symbol.
Yeah.
And that's what's important.
And see, I don't even know that I've found that necessarily yet, but it's funny that my quote, most boring logo is honestly probably my absolute favorite. And it's the one that I stick with. So like, it's the one that gets branded on the back of my pieces. So like, if you buy a piece from mine, it has that on it. And the reason I do these other things is for apparel. So I have a bunch of like brand kits and brand designs, but my logo itself is just a cursive, the House of Timber, like a swoosh up in a hand-drawn font. And that's what I put on all of my pieces. But it's fun. It's funny, like looking at other people's logos, and like there's so many things that I don't like, or there's so many things that I think are cliche, or like all of us woodworkers do.
Well, like saw blades, or
like saw blades. Like, if it's a half saw blade, half wood grain, I'm like, don't make me.
No disrespect to people who use Sawblade.
No disrespect.
I feel like half our listeners now that I think probably about it, use
I don't think I've ever seen one of those on your page.
But I personally, I made it a point when I was making my logo to not use a saw blade.
Yeah. But for me, that's where it's like, I love getting out of the box with these things, but it's also probably why my main logo will always just be my swoosh up, because I'm like, man, I don't even know. Eventually I'll find, like, I have fun with the cool designs, but when I make a logo for the garage, I know that it's just going to be that like cursive swoosh.
And the thing is, like, you built a brand around you and what you stand for. So like at this point, the logo almost doesn't matter. It's the brand.
But it's fun having all the brand designs. Like it's fun having all those things. But man, we're getting, I think I'm on like 210 of my numbered logos, which is so fun to think about.
Numbered logos?
I only number the logos. So I think I just did like 209 or something like that. Oh. We're getting fun.
That reminds me of something. I enjoy, you started a series a while back.
I know.
Your journey to becoming a logo artist. I enjoyed the hell out of that.
It is still going. And what
I figured as much.
What's catching me up, or what's like I'm getting caught up in, is it is so hard to go. So like I threw my phone in the lake and not everything was backed up. So I had lost some things in my camera roll, but like Instagram, and this is another thing with Instagram. Instagram was killer because it didn't lose anything. So then I realized, oh, my numbers have gotten a little off technically into where I'm like in the batches that I'm doing. So now I was like, oh shit. So now I have everything saved into a big album and I need to jump back in because I had gotten us to like 100. So we're kind of like halfway done with it. So now I need to go back and like really, but I got a little caught up in that for a second. So I took one reel down, edited it back, put it together, and I need to finish the series. But that's another thing with Instagram is it's like, man, imagine if you only posted for what you thought was going to go viral, then you wouldn't have like your own portfolio or you wouldn't have.
That's crazy. I definitely don't do that daily.
I don't do that.
I definitely used to. You're like, oh, this is going to pop off. This six second video of me cutting this piece of wood is going to pop off. It's going to break.
Because you know what? I'm sitting here now and this dumb shit that I posted 2 years ago, who cares if it's popular? Because now I have a record of something that even I lost otherwise. So like, let it be a portfolio of your work. It's going to do what it's going to do, but have fun with it. So I need to get back into the series because like I got it halfway and then I was like, oh my finish God.
Yeah. You gotta finish it.
I do. They
always started at the top of my feed. It was you like with the glasses going. And I was like, this is another installment.
I kept seeing the same one. I'm like, what is the same video again? I was like, no, it's not.
Anyway, do we have any more questions, Petey?
Dan, I don't even answer the question yet. Rude.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My quick answer is, Malcolm, I literally built my entire business on, I got a 3D printer. I found a need. It's something I enjoyed. People liked it. I made more. And then they asked me for stuff. Another need. I made more. So boom. I have trouble with artistic stuff. I've been making things to fill a need. Now I'm trying to get, but the nice thing is, that part of the business has allowed me to reclaim woodworking and to actually get back into like discovering things, using tools to learn things and not just crank out crappy commissions just to get like, you know, make checks. Like I can now pay for my shop with the 3D printing and some other stuff so I can get to do fun stuff. And occasionally I still take on commissions, but that's how you get started. Sometimes you just have to fill a niche. Sometimes it's art, sometimes it's whatever, but filling a niche is great because a lot of people have the same problem. A lot of tools.
Yeah. But
now let's jump on into Kamani's question. And I think he's got actually two.
Yo, what it do? Yo. Just kidding. Hey guys, it's Kamani. Just wanted to say hey to Lizzie. I got to meet you last year and talk a little bit at WorkbenchCon, which was pretty awesome. So my first question is for you. So a lot of your creations over the years have been inspired by Crew. So now that she's getting a little bit older, I wanted to know if you are working on or thinking about working on any bigger, toddler-sized builds inspired by her. And two, this would be a question for the group. There are a lot of, you know, maker shows, or at least there were a lot of maker shows. But if you had the opportunity to be on a maker-related TV show, what would you do it? And what kind of show would you want it to be? Like a competition, a build-off, a group build, you know, something like that. All right. You guys have a great show, and buy my album, Big Glue Up. All right, bye.
I'm always inspired by crew, all the time. Usually, like, my creations are, like, somewhat centered around the things that she's, like, into. Or, so, like, when she was born, it was very much, like, the nursery announcements and, like, things in her room and all of that kind of stuff. And then she got into puzzles, which is why I got into the puzzle. So I ran my CNC for the first time the other day. And that only took, I don't know, like 4 years to figure out. So the CNC turned on for the first time. And she's super into these like puzzles. So I'm going to make some like alphabet tray type puzzles and things like that. And then another idea I had, which is just a total harebrained idea, but I'm like, there is no like kid workbenches for kids who actually want to work. There are these cutesy little things with these like pink little pastel gears that they can like hammer a little thing in. I'm like, man, she needs a little bench that she can like hang her Bessies on and like
an actual workbench.
Like an actual work. So I was like, how fun if we actually did like a mini maker bench. So I was like, maybe I'm like toying around with an idea. I'm like, how could I like flat pack something like that? You know, like off the CNC, there's got to be a way. I'm going to collab with somebody on that. There's got to be something. So I was like thinking about that. I wrote her a little book. So I've got that illustrated and I'm going to publish that. So she has a little book. It's like a for crew. And so for our little maker babies. And so I was like, I hope by like the fall of next year, there's like some little books. So it's like, I'm always just doing something that I want to like commemorate our little like moment in time together. So that when she looks back or like ever goes for a scroll on my Instagram or something like that, she can kind of see like what phase she was at by like what I was making. So it's like, we had our milestones, we had our nurseries, we're going to have our puzzle, we have a little book. And I think it'll just keep evolving like that too. It's always right. Like, she's into
instead of a little height chart on the wall.
Yeah.
You have all the moments on your Instagram. That's great.
little things like that.
And the second part of the question was about where's my show notes? Sorry, I lost them.
If we had the opportunity to
have a maker show, what kind of show would it be?
Ooh.
So, Lizzie,
have you been approached? I can't believe you haven't been approached.
Yeah.
About a show yet?
Me?
Yeah.
Because I'm hilarious?
Also, yes.
Yes, that. And not the other thing.
There was this one network, and it seemed like fake at first. It was some HGTV thing, and it was kind of funny. So I talked to the producer, and he was on like Magnolia stuff, right? So he was like explaining to me in these like, I don't know, show business terms. And he was like, I think you have something great. Like, I love watching your page and love the personality. Like, you'd be great for TV, but what we're lacking is like a car. I'm like, well, yeah, I could use one. I'd drive in a shitty truck. And he's like, no, we need like a vehicle. Like, Chip and Joe are only Chip and Joe because we created Chip and Joe. And I'm just like, huh? And I'm like, what do people, even when he's like, yeah, if you have an idea for a TV show, you can come back to me and like, maybe we'll get an idea. I'm like, dude, what do you want from me? And he's like, it sounded like they wanted me to be this like character, like I'm supposed to be eternally single. Oh, haha, she's such an airhead. Like, look at her go, just this dumb single girl. And like, oh, she has this funny friend Claire. And
I'd watch that for 9-10 seasons. Yeah.
Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be Lizzie. Oh, that'd be a character. Yeah,
it just seemed like he was taking these like funny things of my life, and I'm supposed to be this like single woodworker that goes and does logos. I'm like, that's not a TV show. What do you want? Like, it's like he wanted to create a story around my life. And I'm like, how weird. So no, the House of Tender is not happening anytime soon publicly. Peace. Done.
I'm Tender. I can't believe that's never come up before.
Oh God.
Oh. Like, I'm just like, can we keep it private? That's a little embarrassing.
Also, the balls on that guy to be like, oh, you're great. You're awesome. When you have an idea, come back to me. How lazy are you?
Yeah. And so it's like, I was kind of thinking about it. And I'm like, you know, if I had an idea for a TV show of what I would do, like, I think it'd be dope. Like, obviously, I love businesses. I love, like, the story of the business. Like, one thing I want to do on my page is, like, when I'm creating logos for businesses, I want to actually, like, and I wish I would have done it for Walrus Oil. I just wasn't like there at the time. I hadn't had the idea yet, but I would love to create a
sign. The sign you made for Walrus Oil was fantastic, by the way.
It was so, and there were so many brand restrictions because they do have like, it can only go on a black background. The reason that the Walrus Oil is flat is because it's a brand restriction. They work on negative space. And that happens to me on a lot of logos. So sometimes you'll see a logo and it maybe doesn't have any like Lizzie layering. There is certain, if they're a company who's like trademarked, they have brand guidelines for stuff like that. So I think it's amazing too, but it is not at all what my head had, but I love how it turned out.
It looked great.
Yeah.
But it's like, I would love to tell the story of the company. So I'm like, if the House of Timber got a TV show, rather than make it like, oh, I'm so funny and perpetually single, bleh, I think it'd be cool.
I'm perpetually like, single. That's the name of the show.
I would think it'd be cool to like, as I'm creating a logo, then I'm telling the story of this business, and we're going in, we're like looking at like, you know, say it's a coffee shop, like we're looking at the coffee shop, we're coming in, we're like redoing the cash wrap, and we're like telling a story. Like that would be my idea. Like, let me come into these small businesses, like tell their story, do their branding, because a brand is so much more than a logo. Like it's your whole aesthetic. So I'm like, let's come in and do that. But I don't know that people would watch that on TV. As far as a maker challenge show, I feel like everybody does a build off, so we got to think of something else.
I don't know. But I feel like you're with the whole concept of like you making a sign while you talk about the business. It's very much reminiscent of like Justin Davies with his series. Yeah, like same thing. Like making something out of for this business and talk about their roots and whatever. That would actually be a really cool series, I think.
Yeah,
I think it'd be so cool. Another thing that I'm dying to do to just like challenge myself in a way, like I don't know why, but I'm like purposely like stopping my year so that hopefully in January, like I'm free. And I want to do this like harebrained, insane build off that's like I open up 30 slots and I'm doing 30 logos in 30 days. For $500 a piece. And I want to do this like massive batch where it's like, you have to come, your 30 logos in 30 days, and I want to do it, like, start to completion. I want to go ham in the garage. I'm going to have, like, an entire day milling everybody's backer. I'm going to have an entire week, like, doing the frames, getting it together, a whole week of scrolling, painting, whatever. I just want to do this massive build challenge with myself. I don't know why I think
you might want to bring some staff in, some people. That'd be a fun collab. Like, every week you got a new batch of people camping out in your house.
I think that would be insane. Or, like, 20 logos in 20 days or 10 logos in 10 days just to see if I could do it. Like 10 logos in 10 days would be so much fun. I don't know why I think that sounds exciting.
You could call them guests of the House of Timber.
Yes. Yes. I think that would be a blast too.
That'd be awesome.
I don't know why. I just want to do like a logo challenge with myself of like get a slot in at a cheaper rate and let's just go crazy with it. But I want the rule to be that you literally don't care what you get. I give you what I give you.
Yeah, you get no input.
You get
missing letters, doesn't matter.
No,
it's everyone so gets funny. Ariel Black. That's it. That's the only fun I can do.
Because you know how many times someone will send me something, they'll tell me what they want, and I'm like, okay, fine. I am a poor girl for hire. But I'm like, I want to make it this way. That'd be fun to do.
I think
Dan, what about you?
Yeah, I think if my maker journey was a show, I think it'd be Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, same shit over and over every day.
Yeah. Is this
so? It's always like whatever, whatever renovation show. It's always we got this great house at a great price. Things are going great. We opened up a wall. Now it's going to cost us $20,000 more. Terrible.
But yeah. if I could like do a maker build off show, I've always thought the show Making It, the one with Amy Poehler and Ron Swanson, Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
I always thought that looked super fun. And I always wanted to do that. But I don't know if I have the TV personality, quote unquote. I don't think I'd be good on TV. So
scratch that.
I think it'd be fun.
I want a maker challenge meets Naked and Afraid. You think you can make? Well, okay. I don't actually want us.
Maybe very, very few people could be Naked and Afraid, but I think the making community as a whole.
Let's just say I wouldn't have any audacity if I was naked.
So
I don't want to see any of that.
I want to be close.
99% of those people.
I think it'd be hilarious to see makers out of their element. I think it would be called Influencers in the Wild. And then we would drop a bunch of people in without their lighting set, crew, accoutrements. And now let's see each other survive. I'm going dark and dirty with this, you know?
makers survive.
Yeah.
Survive so maker the element. Survivor?
Yes.
Like actually, that sounds kind of cool. I feel like makers are probably some of the better problem solvers.
That's what I'm seeing. I don't want to see Jason Hibbs build another coffee table. I want to see him go buck wild on something.
I don't want to see him buck naked, though. No.
No.
I'm still hung up on Naked and Afraid. I'm sorry.
We're wearing clothes. All of us are wearing clothes.
Thank you.
But could you just imagine just dropping a bunch of makers out of their element? Like, we can watch that guy build anything all day long. Like, I'm just ready to see him survive. Like, what kind of house is he going to build?
You can make these things with a fancy table saw, but let me see you do it with a string and some duct tape.
I want to see, like, MacGyver this crap. Yeah, I want to see how creative we get building shelters because, like, we are good. The only thing I'm actually decent at is fixing my mistakes. So I'm like, come
on. That's how we get good at anything.
Yeah.
God dang it. I kind of like this. I'm on board.
It would be like
makers slash problem solvers. I love it.
Yeah. Makers Unmade. Makers in the Wild. Makers. Something like that. Maker and Afraid.
Makers in the Wild. Well, you know, if you're listening to this, send ideas to the show.
Please do.
Let's see. Maybe we can pitch this. Maybe we can make this happen.
Yeah.
I think Maker
Discovery. Listen.
Would be great. Okay. We'll wear clothes.
God, like, yes.
We'll make wear is clothes. Blind. Like, love is blind, but make is blind. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're really stretching here. I like it. Pete, do you have any ideas? Do you have any thoughts on this?
Yes. I've thought about this. I fantasize about this. Basically, my ideal show for what I do and what I'm into, because it took me years to figure out what I actually do, and that is just I make everything.
Yeah.
I literally do every medium. Except
you should put that on a license plates.
I should, but it's been taken in all the states. So for me, it would be a crossover between like Mythbusters and Junkyard War. Where it's
I love Junkyard Wars. I miss that solution. Show.
But like, obviously with like 3D printing and fabrication, whatever, it might be a little longer, but it's not just like welding and junk in a junkyard, but like you have to figure out how to do this or improve this tool or make this better. And like, or engineer guys without engineering degrees, like me, Patrick, Dave, and Jimmy, and just like throw us in a room. And in like a week we solve world hunger and like, somehow we're on the moon.
Wow.
And like, it's just, okay. You know, like it just, you know, I'm throwing out some random ideas, but like there's such creative people in this community. And if you throw them in a room, like Pete Squared, me, a couple other people, like you can design anything. And a lot of us don't have any engineering backgrounds. We think in angles and applications and clearances and all this stuff. And it would just be so cool to get these people together and really go balls to the wall to like figure out some of these crazy, like you're talking about like building a house or whatever, but I'm thinking of like solving real problems in a world.
Have you guys ever got involved with the Make 48 event? It's like a Kansas City organization and nobody knows what it is. So I actually
I will say that. Terrible job advertising, because I only find out when people are there that it's happening.
So I haven't like said anything about it, but we've like just got, I still got a few like basic like testing type things to do, but I did accept a maker residency sponsored by Make 48 at Operation Breakthrough 2 days a week, which is like Travis Kelsey's organization. It's amazing. It's here in Kansas City.
Oh, he's the guy who's helping Taylor Swift become famous.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the foundation, I mean, there's others involved in it, but the foundation is amazing. So, but it'll be fun because it'll be 2 days a week. I get to be a woodshop teacher, which is like ultimate dream.
That's
like,
awesome. All I want to do is
teach shop class. So I'll teach shop class on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I'll have three groups of kids. It's all in underserved, underprivileged communities. So the kids get to come in there for a little bit of break. They have a great after school program. So I'll be teaching three rounds of students, 2 days a week, wood shop.
That's awesome.
It's going to be amazing. But my residency, so Operation Breakthrough, the funding was there for another position, but not for me. So Make 48 is sponsoring my residency there. What you were just talking about, and then I'll obviously do the House of Timber, but even when I am there, there's like three breaks a day. So I'm hoping to get some of like the brand content that I need when I'm in the shop there. I can get good content of the kids and hopefully clear up what the heck Make 48 even does, because it's such an amazing organization, but their brand story is they do a bad job of, they just haven't had the chance to do a good job telling us that yet. So even when I'm there, my House of Timber dreams, we're growing and thriving. But this is just going to be another way of doing something I love, because what I love is teaching. So it's like, how could I not take this? And then this supports hoping me to, you know, do more teaching with the House of Timber too. Because House of Timber, like, products are great, but that's not like, I don't want to leave a mark of products. I want to leave like a mark of teaching and like an actual difference. So that's exciting. Yeah. Make 48. This is how those events run, and it's solutions. So like one of the most recent events I went to, it was community gardens. So anybody who needs access to this community garden, how do we create the solution? So what could I give to somebody who is homeless for them to go plant in this garden? And I mean, half of these are kids, and what they were coming up with was absolutely insane. It's like a paper. I mean, someone came up with like a paper printed with seed that could be accessible through any foundation. So if this person, and then they came up with water, like solar panel waterers. So if someone laid this like seed paper out, like they would come back to success. So it's like this person doesn't have to have all the means to go plant these things. And watching that innovation for an actual solution is exactly what you're talking about. They have another event. It's in Little Rock next month. I can't make it because I'll be out of town teaching. But, and this one, they're coming in and they're creating a community of tiny homes that homeless people can come into and use. So what innovations do we make for these tiny homes to make it the best thing for this community? How do we, and I mean, people will be living in them. So it's like any solutions like that they come up with, but then all of us as the tool techs, we get in the garage and it's exactly that. There's a kid coming to you and he's like, one of the things I built, he's like, I need a raised garden bed that has a shade that will auto adjust to the exact shade that this plant needs according to its readings off a solar panel with the location of the sun. So you sit there as a maker and you're like, I start with a box. So I built a box. And then someone comes in, they're like, a PVC pipe, because all you're building is a prototype. It doesn't have to function, but it's exactly like that. You get 10 tool techs and it's like the way things are MacGyvered in that shop is exactly what you said. It's like, how do we innovate a solution for this need? Is this possible? And then at the end of it, difference in Make 48 is at the end of it, they actually go in front of a patent panel, and whatever solution is the best solution, they'll take it to patent. And so they have multiple things, and then the kids will get a percentage of the patent profits and proceeds, blah, 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 which is cool.
That's freaking awesome. See, Make 48 needs to do a better job of advertising us.
I'm hoping to help.
Yeah. No, we could just keep talking all night, but we're literally 2 hours into this.
This
show.
Is one of I not
this
one
is the
of
longest show the longest. We've ever done.
Absolutely,
Elizabeth, how dare you? How dare you be so interested?
That is my scolding name. You learned. I know. When I Larry. That's my
But listen,
did we get to all the questions, Pete?
We did. That's all the questions. Oh. Yeah, and it was. Listen, Lizzie, was it? I was expecting to have a good time. I was expecting to learn a bunch. I was not expecting to take away this much from this episode. This is probably.
I feel like I've made a new best friend. I'm going to be honest.
Oh yeah, we're so close now. We do this every week now.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. This is a thing.
No. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, no, Lizzie, this was absolutely amazing. I think our listeners are going to get a lot out of this episode. This is such good information. And do you have anything else? Where can people find you? Where, if somebody needs a sign, where did they find you?
Mostly on the Instagram is where you can find my work. But if you need anything from me, you can come to thehouseoftimber.com, and I've got a contact form on there.
And all of those links will be in the show notes.
Absolutely. They're already in there.
Yeah. Great.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been an absolute pleasure. It was so great. I wish we had more time to chat at MakerCamp.
I feel like we could have done this for another 2-3 hours. But yeah. Let's be honest. I'm old and I need to sleep.
Well, we'll have you back on at some point. This is great. Dan, you got anything else to add?
I do want to give another shout out to our patrons. They literally keep the lights on over here. So thank you to each and every one of you. If you want to join the patronage over at patreon.com, go to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast. I am terrible with words today, apparently. You can join one of our tiers over there and become a general, Admiral. Petty officer, or a colonel in the Met Army.
Nice.
We appreciate everybody who helps us out. And if you don't want to help us out financially, that's fine. You could share the show in your stories, in your posts, or just tell a friend on the sidewalk. Everything else.
Hey, absolutely.
Hey, you. Listen to podcast.
And once again, thank you to Lizzie from the House of Timber for joining us. This was a phenomenal show. I reached out to Lizzie at WorkbenchCon last year, and I was a little intimidated, and I was able to talk to her again at Maker Camp, and I'm glad we made this happen.
I'm so glad.
This is awesome.
Very good.
Well, we'll see you guys next week. We'll announce our guest probably around Monday or Tuesday if we have one. Otherwise, just be a fun, maybe it'll be a part two with Lizzie. Who knows? we'll see y'all next week, and have a wonderful week, and have fun making out there, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. Love you long time.